Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
When I was 14, I had a Bronco that fought so hard, she fell. Broke a rib. Straight into her lung, and she couldn't breathe. I didn't like what I had to do, but I did it.
That's the job sometimes. When the cost we pay for our missions, for our choices, comes due.
Dogtastrophe.
Okay, we're going to ignore that, Jesse. We're going to start the podcast.
What? What are we doing?
We're starting the podcast.
Why?
Because.
You just gave me a whole thing about like how we got to start the podcast.
I don't know what you're talking
okay.
about.
Okay. This is the beginning.
Shut up.
This is the beginning.
This is not true.
Of
this
our.
Is lies. This is all lies.
Our podcast. Oh,
that's true. That's not a lie. That's not a lie.
Dan is playing a live action version of one of those, you know, the two doors with the guys and the one tells the truth and one.
Are you talking about where you have three doors and you pick one and they take one away and no, then you're supposed to pick the other door?
That's the Monty Hall problem, and that is true.
Or are you talking about the one where you're like, the one where like you have two people and both sides have cards down and their cards are choice, and it's like if you both agree to split the money, you both get half the money.
You're talking about the prisoner's dilemma.
But if somebody says no and somebody says I want it all, then that person gets all the money and then or something.
So here's the deal. You've gone from describing the Monty Hall problem to describing one of the many prisoner dilemma type problems.
That is correct.
I've already explained. I was talking about the two people with the two doors, and one always tells the truth and one always tells the lie. They're guarding heaven or some shit. God, you've already
described. That's classified.
Indeed. So we're going to start the show. Last week we didn't start the show basically until 30 minutes in.
Yeah.
Which was fine. It was highly entertaining.
Yeah.
It was great, but we're not going to do that this week. This week we're going to get right into it.
Right, do it. Let's do it.
Yeah, we do have a couple.
But the wise.
What the last?
Okay.
Do it.
What's going on there?
I had to hit too many buttons.
Okay. What are those? Let's do it.
So we're going
to Jesse said something.
What did you say, Jesse?
What are those noises?
Oh, he just played a bunch of tapes all
around. Yeah.
Do it.
Tapes. You mean carts? Yeah. I stuck in a cart in the cart machine and pressed play.
Yeah.
I got like all these carts around me.
That's old.
Like an old radio station.
Yeah.
So welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Sometimes we don't know what we're supposed to do until we arrive.
Indeed. And it is I apologize for saying indeed so much, by the way. I do apologize for that. If it happens again, I'm pre-apologizing for that.
Understood.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast. It is episode 304 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yes.
Does a tape come after that? Okay, there we go.
Well, no. Actually, no. I don't. There's nothing that really comes after
Oh,
that.
But yeah. It's
nothing
the title.
Comes after
I got to say the title. So
yeah.
The episode we're discussing.
305 comes after
this week. The episode we're discussing this week is, what is Starfleet?
In accordance with the United Federation of Planets Freedom of Information Act, this documentary includes security footage that has been declassified by Starfleet Command in the spirit of transparency.
I want to ask.
Yes.
I want to ask later. I want to ask if we think, was that an actor or was that an AI? Because it's a robot voice. I wonder if they're going to start using AIs for robot voices. I don't know. I'm not asking that now. I'm going to ask that later. Because we
it
have
is a logical, reasonable option.
We just have a couple things to go over as we start. First, sort of generically, we do like to do this from time to time. We do want to thank all the fans out there.
What's going on?
I'm just thanking fans.
It feels like you're
it's
going.
It's a good thing to think, fans.
It feels like that's the most quickliest that Patrick has gone through the opening.
Yeah, we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to
it,
the thing.
It's like in stark contrast with last week.
Yeah, I'm exactly.
Well, it's like
well done.
Maybe there were reviews.
It's reactionary, is what it is.
No, reviews this week. No, well,
it's progressive.
It's reacting. It's reacting to last week because it was so long. You're going to be like, I'm going to go so short this week.
I do think.
I think it's.
You
responsive.
Think that's good? I'm glad you think.
I like Jesse's adjective better.
I think it's reactionary.
I do think it is a reaction. But I think I'm responding. I don't think it's reactionary. There is a negative connotation to the term reactionary. Just FYI.
No comment. Full stop.
So, just a couple things from last week. Dan, did you want to apologize about the pedophile song?
Yes. Last week, I played the song... Well, yeah, you should have been ready for this.
It was made by
a Peeny Weeny song.
Rupert Grint. Who was it by?
It was okay. So
Rolf Harris, right?
I was playing the song "Timey Kangaroo Down Sport," which is written by Australian singer Rolf Harris.
Yes,
what a fun little jaunty tune that is, right?
Yeah, somebody should have tied his kangaroo down.
But apparently, he's a what the Brits like to call is he a nonce?
Is he a nonce?
Was he a nonce?
A pedo?
Yeah,
a
nonce is a pedo.
Yeah, four counts.
Yeah.
Four counts of pedo.
Was it actual horribleness or was it picture horribleness?
I think it was not
that there's any.
Yeah,
I mean,
right. I know.
I'm not trying to differentiate. No, it's more morbid curiosity.
I know what you mean. It was like in 2012 and I think it was with actual people.
Is that when he got caught?
I think that's when he got indicted. Or
now his kangaroo is totally tied down.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's hope so.
That's when he was found guilty.
So that is an apology.
Apology for that. Didn't know that at the time. I went home to look it up. I was like, let's learn more. More about Stevie's got a younger
that's exactly
out there.
Dan reached out to me and he was like, dude, is there a way to edit out all the times you play Timey Kangaroo?
I was like, probably not a way to do that.
We'll just apologize next week, so that's what we're doing.
He had and I also saw a YouTube clip of him on Liberace show where he did that trick where it's like you have three legs, you know, like one is a wooden leg and he holds it with his hand, he does a little dance with three legs. And there were so many inappropriate YouTube comments about that sketch. Based upon his
later revelation.
I would never have thought.
All right. Well,
anyways,
okay.
So
we apologize about that.
Sorry about that, guys. Sorry. I don't have any sorry sound effects.
You don't? Sorry's in a set.
Well, not this episode. I mean, I got a bunch like hanging around, but like... Okay.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Well, that's too quiet.
Sorry, earworm.
Sorry about that.
There you go. That's a good one.
Sorry about that.
I'm keeping that one.
That's Rutherford from LD.
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 That's pretty cool. I put that in the best of so we can never hear it again.
I was going to say, I'm convinced you were going to play something else, but I was wrong.
Sorry about that.
Okay. moving right along so we can get to the discussion of what is Starfleet?
What is it, Starfleet?
But first.
That's a promise.
We have an email.
What?
An email from Steven who left us a voicemail last week. This week he has an email about the Saylot who ate its tail.
Godspeed.
Where that was the episode we did indeed discuss last week. I said indeed again.
Saylot.
You did it.
He says, gentlemen.
Wait, who is this from again?
Steven.
Steven.
Yes. Quadmalats.
Steven. Steven says, gentlemen. Colon.
Hi.
Colon.
Gentlemen, colon. I took the world-eating ship in the episode being the greatest hero explorers and the best minds of their time to be an allegory to current efforts to colonize Mars and become a two-planet species. And the historical video footage looked a bit like a Blue Horizons commercial rocket company promo film. The point being that if the explorers do not have and maintain empathy, they will end badly. Fortunately, the main advocates of settling Mars now are currently oozing with this quality, so there's nothing to worry about. Sad face. I'm not entirely convinced this was the best depiction of that message. I think we discussed that a little bit. But it seems like a classic Trek motif, and it might be the explanation you were looking for. Because we were a little bit confused about exactly what the point they were trying to make with these people.
Yeah,
I think Steven's like got it. It's just you kind of manipulate.
I mean,
you know, look through your fingers a little bit to get to that message.
I mean, I think that is.
I know what fingers I'm going to use.
I don't even know what that means.
The pinky? Oh, he means that middle,
the middle
one.
Finger. The middle Jesse finger is right currently using middle fingers at Dan.
I think Stephen
he's employed his middle fingers at Dan.
I think Stephen makes an astute observation.
I've deployed.
It's just that the way it was sort of put into the episode. Like, it could have used some expounding. Yeah. They could have expounded on it a little
bit. Felt a little,
but like, they couldn't really expound much on it because there wasn't much room to expound with.
And they killed everybody.
Because it was just sort of like, they just kind of put it in the end of the episode. But I mean, I guess it fit into the episode in the sense that that's who they were facing. Yeah. It's just the message at the end. Yeah, I guess that was as good a time as any to deliver that message. It's just there wasn't enough time to do what they're trying to do.
It was a good episode, and it came off as maybe a little muddled and perhaps even jingoistic, but
maybe if it was a two-parter, it would have been better.
Dan is fond of you're fond of suggesting two-parters get stretched into whole seasons. And Steven does add, he followed up his email to add, this Steven may does. Also be how Kirk learns, quote, the advanced trait of mercy that the Metrons are impressed with when he spars with the Gorn captain later in Arena, who we know is Captain Patel, who has become so gorny. I've not seen the next episode yet, so sticking to my hypothesis.
Thanks, Agamemnon.
We're talking about the next episode now.
Yes.
So Stephen will probably have seen it by this week. But thank you, as always, Stephen. Good points, and I think you're right. I think they did make a point to have Kirk learn an acute lesson about empathy and mercy, and that little mentorship scene with Pike that we talked about last week was good. It was a really good scene. Okay, we're done. We're done with all the previous stuff.
Hell yeah,
that is correct.
We're gonna get down to brass tacks.
We can get down to brass tacks.
It's what I've
been into. And I will preface.
Preface.
My comments. I don't know.
Post is a preface and a post butt.
Okay. I haven't
epilogue.
Conferred with Dan or Jesse.
I think me and Jesse already know what Patrick's opinion of this episode is. Yeah. Jesse and I? Yeah, that's a Jesse and I situation.
We tend not to discuss too much because we want it to be lively and fun and colorful.
Yeah, we want to learn about each other the same time you do, except not really because we recorded a few days before we release it, but you know what we're saying.
Yeah. We will dance together.
and in this dance, I got to say, I got to preface this with a reminder that it is the philosophy of the It's Got Star Trek podcast that everyone likes what they like, and we're totally cool with that. That's awesome. Any comments we have, positive or negative, are not meant to suggest that alternative perspectives are in any way unmerited or illegitimate. That I just want that out there because I hated this episode.
You know how I feel?
I hate it.
I knew it.
It was so bad.
I
was so upset. 5 minutes into watching this episode, I was like,
you can't do this. You mustn't.
I was like, I don't know. I really delayed rewatching this. I always try to watch the episodes at least twice, if not more often. And I had such difficulty.
I believe you think that's what you were trying to do, but you came here angry. You had a point to prove.
Oh my God. So I have a list, actually, Dan, and doesn't have to be now, but because Dan's normally the guy who's got the lists, and
they call me List Man Dan.
I'm gonna ask Dan what's going on in his end of things here. I have a list of Patrick's grievances with this episode.
Patrick's grievances.
We can deploy that list whenever we feel it's appropriate.
I will say that like I wasn't able to pull as many interesting sound. I mean, I always managed to get around the same number of sound clips. This was on the lower end of it, but like the sound clips, I don't feel were. Didn't find them as interesting this time around.
It's a cold episode.
It was a little more of a struggle for me to get like interesting sounds.
This episode suffered for me.
That's funny. I knew you like you were the first thing you said was just like it's 11 minutes in and I'm annoyed.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I thought you were just gonna be like the camera work pissed me off, but like you hate.
I knew
the
that
whole
was gonna
episode.
Be part of it.
I mean I'm using colorful language of course, but yeah. I have a lot of issues with this episode.
I wasn't that impressed with the story necessarily, but I didn't mind the format with the documentary.
For me, going to the point that Dan just made.
Which may be counter to your opinion.
Yeah, no, which is fine.
If they did away with all the documentary stuff, they could have made it a regular episode that was maybe more interesting.
The issue for me is this the greatest sin an episode can have in a lot of ways is to be boring. And I found this boring, and I totally agree with both of you.
It is
fascinating.
No.
There are parts of this story that really are kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. And you get mad because they keep not showing those parts of the story. And we'll talk a little bit about that.
But I'm
actually not surprised. I was kind of curious, Dan, what trouble you might have.
All decks red alert.
With pulling the sounds, because you do have there's a certain flavor you go for. There's a certain je ne sais quoi, a Dan-ness.
For real, dude.
And I think that can be hard to wrestle. I have no doubt we'll be entertained tonight.
Oh, well, thank you.
But it will be due to a Herculean effort on your part to find ways to deploy these sound clips in a manner that won't just keep reminding us that this is a sort of a ridiculous episode.
I like how Lon delivered this line.
I think what makes me good at my job is that I have a lot of experience. From a younger age, I've had to look after myself, and I've learned to make logical decisions very quickly in tense, high-risk situations.
I'm not even joking, I like her sort of meandering way, because you can
I liked the way she delivered it,
you could tell that, like, her character was thinking about what she was saying as she was saying it, and she was trying to word it correctly. I thought that, what's her name, the actor's name?
Christina Chung?
Yes. I think that she really did a good job with that line, but that
and
was
I thought the Pike stuff was good, too, with the interviews.
That's funny how Pike...
All of the interviews I thought were good.
Pike, like, did he really answer any question? No. I think he maybe answered a basic question.
No, but it
question.
Was good scenes.
He answered, like, a question about, like, you know, what is...
love?
Yeah, basically, stuff like
love?
That. There were a lot of these...
That's classified.
That's classified.
I think I can confidently say that that's classified.
I agree. That the actors, I think the actors do a great job with
there's
what
they're... There's a lot of military, like, there was a lot of military.
Well, again, it was that's, we'll get to my list of grievances, but, like, there's some...
That's a promise.
The moral, the political philosophy behind this is bizarre. I don't know exactly what point they're making, and they might be making a point that I think is kind of awful, but I don't know that that's what they mean.
I mean...
But the actors do a good job with what they're getting.
The thing is it is weird, like, what they're really going for there, but, like, the Umberto...
Yeah.
Beethoven.
Wouldn't he be Berto? Wouldn't he be Berto?
Yeah, you'd think. But
Robert is called Bob?
Like, Margaret is Marge, or sometimes Midge. That's from Simpsons, but it's true.
Or Maggie.
Or there's Peggy.
There's all sorts of names.
Peggy.
There's all sorts of names. Yeah, what'd you say was Peggy? Is what?
I'm not sure which Peggy is.
I don't know, but there's all sorts of names.
Peggy's Margaret.
I don't know why we're talking about this.
but you started it.
You started it. The whole thing was that Beto was, like, trying... I can't think of... Say Beto without thinking of Beethoven. The whole thing was Beto was...
You're a music nerd.
So it was...
That's hilarious.
The whole thing is that...
You're a Western supremacist.
It was... Wait a minute.
You know, right? Give it a second, Jesse. Let's see what he says. Let's see what he says about the plot of this episode. Because maybe he is.
No.
It's like a really good message about just follow orders no matter what.
No. But that was from the perspective of Beto, who was, like, making the documentary. He came in with it with a bone to pick with Starfleet. And over the course of the episode, he learns that Starfleet, because he begins with asking the question of what's the difference between Starfleet and Starfleet and colony or something like that.
Colonizers. Yeah.
What separates a starship from a warship?
Yes.
At the beginning, he sort of asks it rhetorically, as if to say they behave so similarly. It's misleading to give them a different name. He's saying, like, he said in the way, like, what's really the difference? I don't think there's any. But at the end, he asks the same question, but this time he's explaining how they are different. Instead of posing the question to highlight their similarities, he then highlights their differences. So it's like he starts and ends with the same question. At first it's to say they're the same, at the end it's to say they're different. So it's like more of, like, from Beto's point of view. Now you could say, like, why did they feel the need to have Beto express this message in the first place? Because were they watching Star Trek and being like, you know, Star Trek seems a lot of really, really militaristic and like colonization focused and blah, blah, blah. Like, well, where did the idea come from?
Race.
Where did they get the idea to have Beto have that point of view from the start is one of my
wondering. I didn't buy this motivation that was sort of the Uhura exposition where she's like, you were just mad because your sister was injured.
Right.
And so you decided that, like, all of a sudden that shifted your political beliefs.
Yeah,
that
was a week.
To being suspicious that the Federation might be a sort of an expansionist empire, which we've discussed before. Like, the Federation does a bunch of, like, weird shit. It's an analog for US or NATO or whatever. And not all those decisions are necessarily good decisions, like on Deep Space Nine, like, just like, oh yes, let's just trade trade land with the Cardassians because it's convenient to not worry about the people there. Or
that's our mission.
The whole, you know, DS9 played with this in such interesting ways with the Maquis that you're sympathetic for. You don't necessarily agree all the time, but you're sympathetic for them and all sorts of other stuff there, gray area type stuff. This, it was cumbersome. It seemed like the message they were sending was that if you have doubts about what Starfleet says, don't worry about it. Just hang out and have fun. And like in the end, they're good, yeah. And you're like an asshole if you disagree with that. And
30,000.
I mean, the message at the end was like the sort of the resolution at the end was a little weird. How, you know, they've got this giant moth that flies into the sun. Yeah. It's a touching moment. It's pretty. It could have.
That's the part of the story that's kind of interesting.
What is Jesse? What are you laughing about?
The moth know. That flies into the sun.
yeah, that's what they like that shit. Hilarious. Yeah.
You know, I'm with Jesse now. I had not thought of it in that way.
But
and yeah. Now I think it's funny.
And so,
I thought it was more like a squid or something.
Those
it was more moth-like.
It was more moth-like.
It did have tentacle things, yeah. But so it was, you know, that was like a nice emotional moment that could have been made more emotional. I think it was, you know, I think they laid it a little thick with like the you're supposed to feel this way kind of thing. Uh-huh. But
people staring at the screen.
Yeah, you know, but it was kind of an interesting introspective moment, I guess. But then, yeah, it was sort of like then it switched to it's like, you know, it's us. We have fun together. We do things. It's this moth flew in the sun. Now here's this ham we cooked up and now we're eating this ham.
We're all like laughing and shit. Meanwhile, people are dying on some planet. This moth is been tortured, it's dead.
These aliens
it's
are killing
babies
each other.
Are all alone.
And it couldn't help me feel hypocritical about like meat, because I eat meat. I start thinking it's like, well, we can't, you know, the old thing about like, well, we're sad because this big beautiful moth flew into the sun, but like, fuck this dumb delicious ham pig, we're gonna eat this thing.
They could have ate that moth.
Yeah, they could have ate the moth. Now, would it have been okay if they ate the moth?
Yeah, exactly. Why didn't they?
That's actually in many Star Trek plots. That's like an alternate way to resolve the plot. Can we just eat the thing?
It's a terrible, awful mistake.
But regardless of the question of like, what's okay to like. What a life is okay to appreciate and what life is okay to eat. It was just a weird that...
I was like, where are you going with this?
It was weird. It was weird that they sort of like followed up the death of this moth as a sad moment and then this cooked pig as like a happy moment. Yeah. For me, like the timing was weird that they sort of placed them one after the other as if to say
the
like...
juxtaposition
of like...
a good time.
This moth dying sad. This delicious ham pig, wonderful, makes it all better, you know?
Well, absolutely. So, that's how it always goes.
Yeah. Oh,
so it's worth noting that one thing that we talked about this last week, but I think in a couple other episodes this season too, where there's been confusion as to sort of what the point is, even in some episodes that we've very much enjoyed. And I don't mean confusion as like, oh, it's so stupid. I just mean, it's not quite clear.
I think it's brave
right.
that you ask all these
it's not coherent.
Questions.
Yeah, indeed. It's not quite coherent. And again, this episode, all the stuff, the concept of an alien race is in some battle and they've figured out that they can genetically or shock whatever they're doing, you know, they I guess they use machinery.
Thought, yeah, they call I like it's a neural dampener.
Yeah.
So you know, like instead of like, you know, inertial dampener, it's a neural dampener, which at first I thought they just loaded it full of benzos. But apparently it's just in which case then they had a neural amplifier later. Yeah. Well, that's gotta just be like a bunch of cocaine speed. Moth speed, but it turns
moth
out
cocaine.
But it turns out the neural dampener is just a shock collar, which makes me think. Well, what's the opposite of a shock collar that would bring like what would be a neural amplifier that's
like
the opposite
like a
of
dopamine
a
drip or something?
Well, that,
MDMA.
Well, no, that would be if the neural dampener was a benzo.
Molly.
If neural dampener was a benzo, then it would be another drug to make it amplified. But if the dampener is a shock collar, what's the opposite of that to make you amplified? Like a pat on the butt, maybe? Like a neural pat on the butt?
Hand jobber.
Something like that.
A moth jobber?
Yeah, that's a neural amplifier. I don't know.
This little kernel of a story of the morals of being tricked by a group of people who have tortured a beast into doing their bidding, a beautiful beast.
Yeah,
and
man,
then
that's
sort
sick,
of
man.
Like expanding that story to me would be really interesting.
Totally.
But it was distracting because they had this this conceit of the documentary.
Right.
And so here's my problems. I'll list some of my.
And then there was a weird. There was a weird part in the middle where Beto got kicked off the bridge, and they were like, "This is this footage has become declassified."
Yeah, non-essential.
Just, kind of just like okay. But
you say weird. I say it was stupid. And again, I don't like insulting people. And like normally, I make a big deal about like, yeah, you know, different people, hard, blah blah. They just almost every decision made in this episode, the production of this episode.
You can choose to shut us out for that, or you can accept it.
Was, I think, a bad decision. And one of those things was that this whole conceit with the documentary, Mr. Sneezy, there's Mr. Sneezy.
Sneezel Jesse. Ooh, there's some fallout there. Oh, Jesse, wipe your face.
Yeah.
I have one.
You know,
lost.
We should get Jesse like a handkerchief.
Face.
And it starts in It's Got Star Trek. Hey, let's sell It's Got Star Trek themed handkerchiefs.
Handkerchiefs?
Yeah.
Oh my. Okay.
There's your there. ASMR for the week.
No.
So
can
I have like a picture of me?
Yeah, it'll be a picture of you.
Prolapsed anus.
No, just with a sneezy face.
You really think this will work?
Prolapsed anus is a real old school. That's an old school. It's Got Star Trek. Deep cut.
You know how I feel.
But the conceit of doing it as a documentary, it was aggravating to me for a few reasons. First of all, as I've said before, I do like when Star Trek does something different, when they're like, we're going to approach this in a different way. And I often like it, even if I don't end up liking the episode or if they don't quite do it well, I'm like, okay, cool. But they tried. They tried to do something and either it worked or it didn't work. I like the musical, for example. Some people didn't, but I was like, that's awesome that they do that. The puppets thing that's coming up in the fourth season, apparently, I'm into that. I we'll see how it goes, but I whatever it is, that's cool. This is not newer and original because tons of shows have done the episode where they're like, it's a documentary crew.
So the difference between this and like The Office or something like that is that The Office, I don't think the conceit was that they were always on camera in The Office. It was kind of like a loose conceit that they had because it was like, sometimes it was very obvious that the camera crew was there. And
it was,
I guess,
sort of like fourth Wally.
Yeah, and I guess the camera crew was always supposed to be there in The Office, but
in
there were
principle.
Times it didn't, but she didn't really think about
they
it.
Played
they
with
definitely
it.
Made it more seem like, no, everything you're watching is from the point of view of a documentary camera. And at times it felt a little bit cumbersome.
But it's good you mentioned The Office because the thing is, so many shows did this. The X-Files did this with X-Cops. I'm pretty sure ER did it. Battlestar Galactica had a version of this. I mean, really, tons of shows have done this. This is an old school idea. And the problem is, first of all, it's often boring when
it's trouble for everyone.
It sometimes is good. X-Cops is that's a problematic episode in some ways, but it is kind of fun.
I don't recommend it.
But this is not an original idea. It's actually a really kind of trite and boring idea to be like, let's do a documentary style. Now, here's the problem.
We'll get it done.
The added problem is, okay, you're going to do documentary style? Okay. Well, let's not make it look like a piece of shit student documentary that was like edited by fucking lunatics. And I'm sorry. It was, I thought
well,
this
maybe
was,
that's what they got.
I thought
was.
The camera work was poor quality, making it like, oh, it's all shaky and stuff. The security camera shit drove me fucking nuts. And again, I apologize. If you dug this episode, cool, that's awesome. I love you. I really do. But they were like, oh, let's do it in 16:9 instead of our regular aspect ratio. Okay. And then let's everything is filmed in the exact same cinematic. They didn't change the quality of the film, except with some like weird, like clear, like Adobe Premiere overlays.
Did you just think basically the gimmick was too distracting to enjoy? Is that why you hated it? Did you think it was like the story was boring, but whatever, but what really riles your ire, if that's a saying, I don't know.
That's a good one.
But we can make it one.
Yeah, that's a new one.
You took the words right out of my fucking mouth, Jesse. I was just thinking that. I was just about to say it.
Famous quote. What's your saying, Dan?
It's on the rat.
Yeah, and I'm uncomfortable with that, but everyone in the audience seems to like that.
Jesse, don't be sorry. We're simpatico, man.
Yeah, that can go on the.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
I can go on the handkerchief.
Yeah. Jesse proves that should come back.
I'm going to put my boogers on.
Right? Yeah, that too.
I mean, you guys were always into that. I'm the one who had trouble with that.
Okay, boring episode. Does
boring conceit.
Wait. Let me just
done poorly.
Wait, so if it's just a boring episode, it doesn't piss you off. You're just kind of like, eh. But the but it was the actual gimmick and the conceit is what riled your ire.
Maybe. I do find boring episodes upsetting because it's a waste of time.
Yes, yes. But beyond, that's not going to make you say, I hate this episode.
A lot of the stuff I just wasn't a big fan of. Like, even a lot of the interview stuff, like, which I like the acting.
It's a difference between, like, watching, like, okay, I think Insurrection's kind of boring. Star Trek Insurrection, I think it's kind of boring. Yeah. But that's not what you don't like about Nemesis. Nemesis actually pisses you off.
Yeah, I think Nemesis is a poorly made movie.
Yeah,
so, and I think this is a poorly made
episode.
So that's
what I mean. There's a difference between boring and something that's poorly made. Boring, yes, it pisses you off because it wastes your time. But if it's poorly made, you're just like,
yeah, I that's a fair way to animate. I mean, this is, again, I wish we had video because Dan's acting all this out.
So far, I'm not
so much loss.
I'm not at all surprised by Patrick's opinion. This is what I figured he would say.
I thought he was just going to be really pissed about
it. I knew he was going to be pretty much not into this.
I thought it was just the camera work.
I'm not trying to be an asshole. I'm not trying to be a know-it-all. I know it all.
Hey, Dan,
what he's going
to
do.
He's not trying to be none of those things. Oh, hey.
I figured the camera work was what was going to really piss you off the most, but there was a lot of things.
Yeah, I figured that would be part of it. That'd be a small part of it.
A few more. We might get some of those when we get back. But I also don't want to squelch other people's thoughts. So when we get back from this break,
people do die.
We will continue to discuss what is Starfleet. Yeah. Be right back.
Dismissed.
Oh, shit.
Action. And we're back.
Ties in.
Ties in? What was the context?
Ties in.
Tie us in.
Sabotage.
Oh, tie us in.
Yeah, I think it was after a hail or something. Containment field is now down. I can get visual from the observation lab. Tie us in.
Okay.
This episode, is it just had more than usual of, like, in terms of sounds? I'm starting a brief subject here without warning.
Bleeps and bloops? Is this this is not a list? This is just a
This
bin.
Is just a couple of sounds, like, the kind of sounds that I a lot of time was dealing with. Was stuff like...
I do think it's brave that you ask all these... questions.
It's like it you can work that into conversation, but it's like so specific that it's kind of it's a lot of these long the quotes I tended to get were longer and more specific and less broad. Like,
I've noticed you can choose to shut us out for that, or you can accept it.
Or like,
I am not sensing any aggression.
It's like, yeah, those are normal things you'd say, but it's like I said, they're too specific, and there was a lot of these, just the way the sounds were working, there weren't like very many sort of, I don't know. It's harder to work these into conversation, I've found.
Like,
so
like
just
a high
something about
play.
It doesn't fit into my sound organization algorithm like as easily as from the, because I go from the positive to the negative, right? And anyway, I'm not going to get into all that. But
I
like
thought
it just,
so.
It's just is some of these sounds
you
are a little
like
bit
the kind of guy that went from positive to negative.
Yeah, and like there's like
I care about my patients.
It's like, how do I put that into a conversation? I don't know. It's a lot of that kind of stuff.
Well, and some of that
and that's
stuff.
Not the, that's not to speak badly. That's not a reason to speak badly of the episode. No. I'm just saying like it wasn't very conducive.
But, like, a lot of those interview things were.
Well, they
in isolation, again, the actors did a great job performing, and in isolation, there was some interesting stuff. That stuff with Mbenga, for example, was interesting,
totally,
kind of. But then you're like, I don't like, what is this?
But yeah,
what does this have
right.
to do with anything? And then still, at the end of the episode, there's a shot of Mbenga leaning against the wall. And he's just like, so much loss, and you're like, wait,
yeah, right.
Is he talking about the moth? Like, what's he talking about?
Is he talking about all the Klingons he killed?
Yeah, is he talking about
so much loss?
Like, it's just, again, it's the editing, and I don't mean just the editing of the quote-unquote documentary style. It just, I think it almost is like there's stuff missing. I don't know if there's like a whole thread or something that they just edited out of this.
But or just out. Made to look like that.
That whole conversation was like very self-incriminating. He's, because he goes, Peter goes, have you ever been ordered by Starfleet to kill anyone? And then he just goes, instead of saying like, I don't remember, I don't know. He was like, I'll defend myself, but it's not the function of my current job. And then he's like, have you scrubbed the surveillance logs from sickbay? And
what
he just stares. Yeah, I know. Where did that come from? And he just stares at the camera and goes,
I cannot recall.
And then he stares at the camera for another 2 seconds and goes,
I cannot recall.
That was the best.
It's like, why did you repeat it? That means you definitely can recall.
Exactly.
It's like, okay, if somebody asks you if you did something shady and you don't know, you don't like pause for a minute and then be like, I don't know.
Mega's always doing something shady.
You don't go like, I don't know. I don't know if I
he was hiding his daughter and stuff.
What you do is you answer just like, I don't really remember, or something like that. I'm not saying that's how you say it, but you know what I'm saying? Like when you repeat the fucking line after looking sort of like off, giving a 1,000-yard stare off into space, like that means you do recall and it was you did it.
Absolutely.
So it means you did it.
Again, so it's confusing as to the point they're trying to make. And maybe if there was some other plot line, and who knows, maybe there was and this was not included somehow or whatever, the implication there was that Beto had done some investigation or something, right? A lot of these interviews sort of had that.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. it was...
Maybe he just did like a internet search.
Well, yeah, they don't have internet, as we know, or in Star Trek.
Whatever they have,
They have like consoles that you like subscribe to.
Console net.
Oh no, that was past tense.
Beto was also going around asking people like what it's like to watch somebody die, which is like...
It's like a
dick move. Obviously, that's what he was trying to do.
I know,
but it's like he's not asking because he wants to know. He's like trying to see how they'll react. He's trying to make some kind of vague assertion and point about Starfleet. Well, like,
he always messing with Uhura about that, her roommate.
Pike's finally like, have you? Like, if you had, you would know, like, exactly. People don't like being asked that shit. Yeah. But that was his whole thing. It was a very obvious he was on a mission from the start to Yeah, but the reason as to why he was so angry at Starfleet was really weak.
Especially because
Ortega's hurt herself.
And he seemed to be discovering that at the same time that Uhura was explaining it. I think part of this is what fed into this feeling that this was like a student film as opposed to some professional thing, because we're meant to believe, and I could totally believe up to this point, that Beto was a skilled filmmaker, and that's why he was selected for this job.
Well, it was supposed to be some kind of happy fluff sort of propaganda piece about Starfleet. Yeah. And he turned it in. That was supposed to be on Celebration.
It still is a fluffy propaganda piece about Starfleet.
That's how it ended.
It's like that classic twisty, like, if we admit, you know, like Fox, everyone was like, oh, Fox Network is so great because they let The Simpsons make fun of Fox. Mm-hmm. I think it's the same thing the Federation is doing here. Mm-hmm. Starfleet's doing the same thing.
I don't know if
they're we'll let Beto like kind of goofball us a little bit, and then people will think we're cool.
Yeah.
Even though we're kind of, you know, doing some fucked up shit.
I think there's a difference between calling your network silly and then calling like your institution like fascist dictator.
But it's an analogy.
What is Starfleet?
I see. Yeah, that's true.
Maybe David Letterman making fun of GE is a better example, because he would go harder on GE.
Okay, that's a better one. I'll accept that one.
And I'm sure so much of our audience
will be like, we
know exactly what you're talking about.
What's
David Letterman's famous battles with his boss, General Electric, a company that no longer exists?
What is it, like Federation Day or something? Is that what the holiday is? I can't remember.
First Contact.
No, it was Federation Day, I think. The founding of the Federation. President Archer.
At the beginning, Beto's asking Ortega some questions about Starfleet, and from the start she's pissed. She's like, "No comment, full stop."
Yep.
You know, and then
again, it feels like there's missing story.
So that's why I was confused. I was thinking that the only thing that I could headcanon was that she knew what he was.
Every time you say headcanon, it makes me think of your head just exploding with like a cannonball,
because
like,
it's happened
like
before.
A civil war. I don't mean to interrupt your point, even though it's precisely what I did. But I just occasionally
It's hit me full in the face.
It's a horrifying image.
Okay, that's rough for you.
Grape shot.
When she says, the only thing that I could think that it could mean is that she knew what Beto was up to from the start. Like, she knew that he was, like, creating a hit piece on Starfleet. Yeah. Like, because she's his sister. Yeah. And so, that's the only reason I can think
they
that she was...
Spanish.
That's the only reason I could think that she was, like, all pissed off from the get-go. Because, yeah, there was nothing leading up into her being pissed off. She just was pissed off, and I wasn't sure, like, what that was.
The second time watching,
and then there was another one. He's like asked Ortega's after a meeting. He asked Ortega's what they're doing, and Ortega's is like, "We're sending Lutani supplies because they're at war." And then it jump cuts to her saying, "What kind of supplies? Easy guess, they're at war." Yeah. And she mean mugs the camera. I didn't know why they jump cut past the thing.
Well, just real quick
and then I'm guessing what she said by "what kind of supplies" was she implying that they were like weapons and
yeah,
things
that's
like
the
that.
Implication. But to back up to your previous point, like the thing is I on the second watch, my
give
my
me watch. Head, sorry, my, I interrupted you. Now.
My headcanon.
Give me the watch.
My headcanon. My guess was headcanon. The reason she was upset. We're meant to understand as the story unfolds that the reason she's reluctant to talk to him is because she has her own. She's suppressing her own feelings about the experiences she's had. And that the scene we see at the end, which is a beautiful little scene where he's filming her again.
I cannot recall.
It's kind of fucked up. He's filming her. She doesn't think they're being filmed because she ends that shot by saying, like, okay, you can start now. He's secretly filming her as she.
He did a lot of that.
Is she like working on a motorcycle?
She's like, yeah, that's a whole other thing. But like, she's.
Stop asking.
She's working through her problems by verbalizing them to her brother. And it's a sweet scene where her family is there to help her and she doesn't even realize she needs the help. But in talking, it reveals itself and the way she portrayed it. And I actually really liked how that scene was written. It was so organic where she started sort of reluctant and then sort of opened up and was making these realizations and then opening up more as a result. And then it got her in the space to be like, okay, now I can talk. But here's the thing. Again, and I've complained about this before, you don't understand the beginning scene until you've seen the end scene. And so the beginning scene is just confusing. And then you see the end scene, you're like, oh, I guess the end scene explains the beginning scene, but only if you remember the beginning scene, which you might not because a bunch of other crazy shit happened in this episode to distract you.
There is a fine line between something that like rewatching something and getting more from it the second time. There's a difference between that and information you straight up should have known
beforehand.
It
needs to work the first time
through. So you're saying the reason she was pissed off from the start was just based upon her previous trauma still back from like
and she had
before.
Not yet
resolved.
I'm not saying she totally resolved it, but that's how I interpret it. And that took a lot of like you know, watching this episode.
I liked how they showed the vital statistics at the beginning of like the USS Enterprise.
That was cool.
Yeah.
It's 44.6 meters long.
Yeah,
that's long.
Yeah, that's a long one.
But again,
that's over a football field. No, it's not. It's not a football field. That's less than half a foot. It's not that long, actually. Wait.
What'd you say it was?
44.6 meters. That's
it's
less.
Like 400 feet.
That's like less than half of a football. That's not 400 feet. That's like more like 100.
Was it 400 meters?
44. Four times three is 120. Four times
I was
three
told
is
there would be no math.
36. It's just, it's like 130. It's like 140, 140 feet, I think. It's less than
you
half,
and your numbers.
It's less than half of a football field. Originally, I was thinking it was something else. So it's not that long, actually. You know what? That seems kind of short, that it's only like half a football field.
It's got to be more than half.
They really pack them in, though.
Yeah, huh. It's more than half a football field.
How long is the Enterprise? Star Trek.
Not the actual like aircraft Enterprise.
Okay, so according to the AI overview, which is basing this on something else, it says it's 642 meters.
Meters? Well, it depends on which Enterprise you're talking about, because there's the Enterprise D.
Enterprise D's nuts.
The Enterprise D? And I've got all the Enterprise listed on Notepad++. Just give me a minute. I just need to go check. I just need to go check my notes.
Dan's all about them links.
Hey, Dan.
Right now, my Linux box
what
is down.
What are you
down.
Doing?
Hey, Jesse.
Hey.
What are you doing?
He's
my number one dog.
The overlays you talk about, Dan. I like the concept. I like some of the information, presuming it's correct. I did not like the actual overlays. I thought they looked cheesy. The shot of the Enterprise looked cool.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. It just all of that stuff kind of like it came across as some I don't know, TikTok filters or some shit.
The AI, Google AI. I'm just saying right
You're
now
talking about the old Gemini.
This is Gemini. I'm just
Gemini
for full disclosure claims that the original TOS Enterprise is saying 947 feet long. I'm sorry, 290 meters.
Yeah.
Okay,
that sounds more reasonable.
More
to me.
Reasonable than that. I swear it said 40.
I used to know all this shit. It's left my brain.
It's in one of them.
I wrote it down wrong, but I don't think I did. I think they said that the Enterprise was 44.6 meters long. That's no way. I understand it was kind of cheesy. Like, it was cheesy at the beginning when they had the little disclaimer. It was cheesy when they pulled the redacted footage. It was cheesy when they I still like when they bring up statistics. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's
I, again,
that's
I,
still good.
I'm with you
like,
there.
Okay, I like
I'm
words.
There.
Okay,
yep,
it's
yep, yep.
It's Constitution class heavy cruiser.
Yeah,
I love
absolutely,
cool.
dude. It's
love,
a heavy cruiser.
I love when they talk about heavy cruisers in space. It's like, a heavy cruiser. That probably gets so many dice roll. Like, when you're rolling dice roll.
No,
probably gets
get,
like 20
get like
dice
six.
Rolls.
More, oh, 20.
Maybe even 20. Maybe
well,
six. Yeah,
if, it's
probably,
a, if it's a D6.
Maybe six.
The
is
Constitution
more
class has such a delicious belly. I think
baby.
Strange New Worlds has a great depiction of this ship. I really love it. My favorite still is Star Trek 2, Star Trek 3, Star Trek 6, the Enterprise A. Because those really showed the weight and the heft of that big round belly. And then the later ships drifted
away from that.
The
sleekness of the missile.
It said its weaponry, six phaser banks, two photon torpedo tubes, and a hull deflector shield.
Is this still the Gemini AI?
No, this is, I'm sorry, this is back to the episode, my fault. Yeah. But apparently the number of hand phasers and phaser rifles and supplementary ordnance, like goo bombs and such, like, those are, like, classified.
Yep.
I think that just means they didn't want to make a guess at a number, so they were just like, it's classified.
Well.
Like, and when that conversation, remember that conversation that he was spying, because he did a lot of spying on people, we've established.
Yeah.
When Pike was talking to, like, Starfleet Command, like, that the command...
He was hanging in the back.
The command was, like... Redacted.
Yeah, you didn't hear what. Yeah, it was like. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but instead at the bottom is like redacted. Like, why wasn't Pike's redacted?
Yeah, because you can totally through then, context clues. Yeah, understand right. what yeah. was being.
I
said.
I mean, it was done for dramatic effect, obviously, but it's like, why would they only redact half of a conversation?
Again, it doesn't work. If you're trying to do documentary style, make it look like a real documentary. This guy's like hiding in the shadows, and then occasionally his narration. Like, there's just occasional narration.
He's a sneak,
and it's
not
like
eh.
it's like he's sitting behind the camera. And he's like, oh, buddy.
He's a sneak.
Space is filled with wonders.
It's a space.
Both colonized.
And it's so cheap.
Both impose their laws wonders. And doctrines on others.
I just
wonders.
My friend. That character destroy was, my friend.
That character was capable of being more than a cheesy,
yep.
half thought out narration. I just thought again, any individual thing here doesn't aggravate me as much. But when you put it all together, it's just sort of a.
Put it all together.
A little bit of a frustrating, a little bit of a distracting.
Yep.
Bring back Shuttle to Ken Forey again. I remember because we were talking about this recently.
We were.
And we were talking about the whole hat on a hat situation, the finding zombies, but then also
a
having
stovepipe hat
but then
on.
Also having Klingons like going after M'Benga. And it's like, I guess the reason they shoved all that stuff together is they've been trying to give us this paint this background picture of M'Benga this whole season.
Yep.
Even if it doesn't really fit into the episode, like is what happened to Shuttle Ken Forey? Like they wanted to make sure we're learning about they were using, and that's what happened in this episode when they were talking about
like this guy's a badass.
They were talking about he's a asymmetric warfare, codenamed the Ghost, which means he goes and kills people.
Yeah,
and that just means
the Ghost.
Cheesy. It's a cheesy nickname. Again, I'm sorry,
but it's such a cheesy.
It
the reason
like, they could have
came
a
up with
one.
The Ghost.
Of course, it's the Ghost.
Well, what I'm saying is the Ghost. That all that to me, what that means is he's like another one of those soldiers that comes in and kills someone, and then he leaves before anyone knows what happens. They're like, oh, it must have been the Ghost. You
he's
know,
just good at not getting caught.
Yeah, like that. There's always like some kind of character like that who like people are just chilling, and then some guy comes up and slits someone's throat, and he disappears, and no one sees it.
Right.
Anyway, but like that's what I think.
Asymmetrical, baby.
But I think that's in Shuttle to Ken Forey where they had him. That plot just to reveal info about him, they inserted into this episode too to, about like his sort of like, so they've been shoving this into the episode, which I like the attempt at trying to give us some color and flavor as the episodes go on and we learn about this guy like through these happenstance situations, but it doesn't always fit well.
And I have to presume, I have to mind you.
You don't, you do?
I'm compelled to. Let's
oh
see.
My gosh.
Our job is to bring light.
I'm compelled.
Bring warmth. Bring life to wherever we go.
I'm compelled to assume that a lot of what they're setting up here is intended to position the character of M'Benga to be demoted at some point, because in TOS, spoiler alert, M'Benga's a character on TOS, and he's well-liked, beloved, well-respected, but he's no longer the chief medical officer.
Right.
And there's got to be some reason why he either resigns from that position or is removed from that position. And maybe it's because he does this documentary and admits to, seems to admit to some shady
right, no, he says,
business.
I don't remember in like the most shadiest, sketchiest, like non-believable way.
I'm a doctor. I was a field surgeon. I'm a doctor. I was a field surgeon.
I mean, I just love seeing him on screen because he's just, the character's interesting.
Yeah.
He's great. But yeah, when it feels kind of forced in, and I'm like, I don't understand exactly how this is supposed to connect to whatever point they're making. It's a lot of the things in this episode seemed like we were supposed to totally understand. But
so it's like someone's got a case of the spose.
I think it's the it's a student film and it's silly.
You didn't actually spoil anything by saying that thing about M'Benga not being in TOS. That wasn't a real spoiler.
Why was it not a real? Just because it's so old?
Well, it's because it's like it's just incidental part of TOS. It's not like it was a thing in TOS that the character of M'Benga not being the head of. It's not like it was a thing then. Yeah.
But it's a spoiler if people didn't know.
Yeah, but like it came earlier chronologically, so I think it's not technically
arguably,
a spoiler.
Arguably, I could feel bad about it. I don't, but I... because I'm sensitive to spoilers. I don't, you know.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, if it happens, if it's based on something that... Like, M'Banga had nothing... There was no part of M'Banga in TOS.
I mean, he was in... M'Banga, the character of M'Banga shows up in TOS, but...
Yeah, he wasn't, but, like, he wasn't, like...
Yeah, he's not, like,
in that role. Like, there was no... Watching TOS, there's no reason to think that he was, at one point, that thing. So
that's a good point.
And it happened chronologically way before the... Yeah. Whatever, man. Yeah. I appreciate the effort.
The thing is
Hikaru...
That's the deal with SNW, with Strange New Worlds. SNW. Some people call it SNW.
Those people use too many syllables to say something that would be shorter if they just said the words.
But, boy. Ent. On Strange New Worlds, a lot of the stuff with Spock, Chapel, of course, with Kirk, with Sam Kirk, etc. This is all stuff that has
Buckles.
Takes on more meaning when you take into account
what
we already know about where their careers and their characters go later on. But anyway, again, I don't mean to like just harp on endlessly about this business. But
sure you do.
But yeah, we've already gone over some of my list of grievances. I did mean to ask you, Dan, do you have any special segments, any lists, any duty or no duties?
There
any,
is a duty
list orders? Of grievances.
There's a duty or no duty, and I have like a few lists. Only a couple, maybe. I mean, we don't. I wasn't planning on doing all of them. Some of them, I mean, really, me doing lists during episode was incidental. It came from I actually make lists that for my own note purposes, and so not all these lists are made for prime time. But I have a list called Jakaru. I have a list called Beto's Mini Mission.
Jakaru is the moth, right?
Right.
The space.
Jakaru? Yeah.
Attack, my friend. Destroy.
Jakaru?
Attack, my friend. Destroy.
Bright and beautiful stars.
Jakaru?
All right, why don't you list
Jakaru?
Jakaru?
List the rest of the list.
So there's Beto's Mini Mission.
Okay.
There's one that's called Crew, which is less interesting. That's more just stuff like the...
Is that about rowing crew? Like,
No.
Stroke.
Yeah.
No.
Stroke. Stroke.
No.
It was just some basic things from, like, the interview is not that terribly interesting.
All right.
And then there was That's Classified, which is just, like, the different things that were asked, and Pike said That's Classified, too, which
that's
was three,
in order.
Which was three or four different things.
All right. So you want to start with the old moth business, mothman business.
Yeah, the
Jakaru.
So these are just some things about the Jakaru. It's so the Jakaru's evolved physiology allows it to act as a supercharged magnetosphere using energized particles for propulsion. Okay. So it can move like that. And
it can move,
this is from its evolved physiology. So it's kind of like a Pokemon in a way. The Jakaru is like a Pokemon.
I don't understand, like, the term evolved physiology.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking Pokemon, because I think Pokemon evolved to different forms.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what they were going for, is they were going for like a Pokemon thing.
That helps make it make more sense.
But like,
it does not make this less childish and cheesy.
No,
there's a Squirtle.
In terms of like scientific stuff, no. But in terms if you do it in if you do it in relation to science, it makes less sense. If you do it in relation to Pokemon, it makes much more sense.
Yeah.
So that's how it propels itself. It acts as a supercharged magnetosphere. Number two, it has like these giant tentacles, which made Jesse think it was some kind of squid monster thing. Those tentacles were cool. I thought all the Jakaru effects were really awesome.
I really liked it when it came
out of the water. Anytime something giant comes out of the ocean, I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
Fuck
yeah. It came out of the ocean and went into space.
Yeah, it was awesome. Those are great effects. Well, I thought it was really cool.
And you were talking, Dan, last week about
sounds on it. Too.
Was it last week you were talking about the why is it shaky cam in
oh, yeah,
in
this, right.
You know,
yeah.
Like, when it doesn't make sense. That was again, like, that. All, I agree 100%. All the Jakaru special effects blew me away. It was beautiful. It was majestic. The CGI on the water was great, but it was all marred by the fact that we're watching it mostly through this like fake filter.
Yeah.
Like, this is a probe and this is and it's all wiggly and shaky. It's like, why? Why can't we just
watch an episode?
Yeah, why can't we, like, a drone's not all shaky? Why is this future drone all shitty compared to the $19 drone you can get down at the old whatever Radio Shack used to turn into?
Yeah.
What? It's
Radio Shack.
What?
Intellectually, it's confusing.
Is there a Radio Shack?
No, they're all gone.
No, they're gone.
When you're using film language, you have to pick the syntax. It has to have proper syntax, proper vocabulary, proper syntax. And they're not doing that here. That's poor filmmaking. It's confusing.
What
are we supposed to think? This is like some. It's not like a documentary somebody would make today. It's like a documentary somebody would make in 2001 or something with the. Early capture, DV like tape or some shit like that.
It's what I believe in too.
All right.
Well, maybe those drones were like new, and so he was making it fly all around because he was taking advantage of all the cool effects or something.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm talking
it's
shit.
A student film.
Bullshit.
All right. Sorry. Continue your list.
I like this Jacaro noise. It was a combination of Jacaro and other noises. So violent. That was when they all got fucked up by the Jacaro.
And it was a scary thing. Yeah. Again, I would have liked to see it in just regular old Star Trek style.
Right,
like,
I know.
Sort of omniscient third party viewer to see this cool power. But
It can emit some kind of crazy super wave to fuck everyone up within like 1,000 kilometers or something, which is what I just played, is what it does. That number three. There's 7 of these. Number 4, it can emit a randomized electromagnetic field so they can't lock on. This is interesting, I think, actually. It can emit.
And convenient for the plot.
It can, you're right. It is. Possibly more convenient that it is interesting. But nonetheless, I liked how they said it. It can emit a randomized electromagnetic field. Randomized, so they can't lock on with a tractor beam or a transporter. They randomize the electromagnetic field, so they can't get a lock.
If they randomize it,
you can't lock on to something that's randomized.
Well, you could try, baby.
Without precise readings, a beam that incorrectly tries to match its frequencies could result in an energy feedback disabling the Enterprise.
You can't underestimate Starfleet.
Can you imagine that? If they don't get the frequency right, it could like bounce back at the Enterprise and just knock it out of commission.
I can't imagine that. You know, another thing I can't imagine, just as a brief aside, I was thinking about this earlier. I think it was today.
You hear about this?
It was yesterday or today. Admiral Funnest Frontier on...
Why are you saying it like Faunist.
No, funnest.
I know, but you're saying it like faunist.
Faunist.
Hooked on phonics.
Let me tell you, there's this guy named Admiral Joe Funnest Frontier, and he is on Blue Sky.
Blue Sky.
What's a Jacaro?
Very well-known social media account.
It's just that.
And we love him, and he frequently retweets our stuff.
Or my friend.
Reposts. Anyway, he was in a conversation about what speed people listen to podcasts at. Mm. And he was saying that his preference is generally to listen at 2x speed. A lot of people do that. They listen to 1.5 or 2x. Sometimes when I'm editing our podcast, I'm like, does anybody do that with our podcast? How could you understand it? It's hard enough to understand already because we talk too quickly.
Because we're from Northern Virginia.
Yeah, did I ever tell you like when I was in Oklahoma, like I was talking to this girl and she was like, people from the East Coast talk really fast.
They do.
And I was like, haha, I guess that's funny. She's like, yeah, it's really annoying.
Because I went to the West Coast and I came back and like I went to a restaurant and everybody was just going like,
that's the thing. It's like when they talk, it's like I know.
Trying to go to Barcelona.
It's like I feel like half the time I know what they're gonna like, what they're getting at, like halfway through the sentence because they're like, and do 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 do, and I'm just like, okay, let's move it on. Okay, I'm being polite, letting you finish, you know.
Mm-hmm. Everybody like around here like drives so fucking slowly. But like,
bitch about the East Coast.
Like you talk to them on the phone, and you try to get like their phone number, and they like say it all fast.
Mm. So they drive too slow, but they talk too fast.
You're right.
All right,
people do die.
Dan, is there anything on your list you can squeeze in minute and a half, and then we'll continue on the other side of the break?
5. Its autonomic systems can manipulate.
Don't stress out because we can keep. We can talk about this.
What was my point?
After the break.
It's
an automatic.
You can't do this. You mustn't.
Lock me in my this.
Its autonomic systems can manipulate and distribute energy.
Okay. I'm not entirely sure what that means. I'm interpreting. It does sound neat, though.
But it's something.
It sounds neat. It does sound neat.
I like it.
In order for the torpedoes to affect it, they only had three torpedoes left. How, don't they have like a bajillion torpedoes?
But
they were like, we only have like three. That was this episode, right?
Yeah,
anyway.
That was this episode.
In order for the torpedoes to affect it with its neurodampening capabilities, because they apparently attached neurodampening capabilities to their torpedoes, it can't do it by piercing the skin. That's because the photon torpedoes cannot penetrate the Jikaru skin. Isn't that interesting? It's tough. Yeah. The dampener has to reach a precise depth near its cerebral cortex.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It couldn't just shoot. Yeah, right. You know, Jesse knows what I'm saying.
Jesse knows. I mean, you know what? Not only does Jesse know, I know as well.
You know as well.
I know
so
as well.
There's...
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to save that last point because it was a 7-point list, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Right, we're going to save this last point.
Save it.
We're going to take a break because we need to take a break.
Got to.
The time says we need to take a break. I think Jesse definitely needs to take a break.
Have you ever seen somebody die?
So when we get back, we will conclude our discussion of what is Starfleet? Be right back.
Turn that damn thing off.
And we have returned.
Ship quartering in at high impulse.
Status report.
You said it weird. You didn't say we're back. You said, I already forgot what you said, but it wasn't the normal thing.
I think I said something like, we have returned.
Something crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I like to change it up from time to time.
Change it up. All right. Well, the 7th point actually works well. Maybe it'll segue us into a different discussion,
okay.
Actually. So I don't think this is necessarily anticlimactic. I think it leads on. So point 7 of Jikaru is her brain chemistry was altered to focus solely on violence and destruction, and it sucks for her.
Yeah.
And so,
again,
like,
interesting storyline. Would have liked to see that story.
Yeah, right.
I want to examine that more.
So there was a part where the Jikaru was like telling the Enterprise, Jikaru was like, hey, Enterprise, attack me so I can redirect my aggression towards you.
And that
was interesting.
But then I'm just going to fly into the sun anyway.
So I was just curious how that works. Like, it can't just turn their, it doesn't get to choose to turn its aggression on things. It doesn't have much choice in what it does. It's basically, like, to use that word again, reactionary. It's just like, it's just reacting to mm-hmm. different things, and it's kind of out of its control, but it's still living in its brain. Like, it can't just turn its attention from the Lutani ship over to the Enterprise and follow it into the sun. They have to.
What if it's responsive to it?
What they're saying is they have to fire on the Jikaru first. Like, the Jikaru is straight up like, fire on me so I can attack you. And my question is, well, why don't you just attack them? And it has to do with, I guess, like, that sort of the shit that Lutani fucked with them with, that it can't just make those decisions by itself, I guess. Yeah. But at the same time, it can make the decision to fly into the sun. So I was confused about the logic.
That
but
would be a more interesting thing to examine, that sort of setup and...
There were some things there that, like... See, there were parts of this episode that, like... I think could have been just a good normal episode, but there was a lot of that stuff that was focusing around the documentary stuff that was kind of like extraneous
and distracting.
Yeah,
and then again, not sure exactly what point they were trying to make.
I didn't hate the episode. I mean, I didn't hate it. I respect that you hate it, Patrick.
I had problems,
and I respect that. And I respect you.
I knew that he was gonna not like it,
and I respect that you feel confident enough to state such an opinion.
Well, so
which has never been a question in my mind, but I'm just saying, like. Yeah. I'm not trying to downplay what you're saying because I understand what you're saying. I didn't hate it though.
I use the term hate for fun. We're on a podcast.
Yeah, but you have a strong negative emotion towards it.
I did, and I feel bad about that. My general philosophy is that the more you can enjoy in life, the better. Food, entertainment, music, whatever. Now, that doesn't mean you're forced to enjoy everything. I certainly do not, as evidenced by tonight's discussion. But yeah, it can be frustrating when, again, there's bits and pieces here that are kind of interesting and I would have liked to see more. I just thought it was frustratingly poorly executed, which in this day and age is part of the annoying thing because they have done so much other stuff that's really creative. Mm-hmm. And again, not always, it doesn't always land and it can be controversial. And, you know, the episode we'll talk about next week, there's a lot of people have some serious issues with that episode. A lot of people really liked it, but this just... I don't know. It just didn't work. Didn't work for me. Okay, but you had some other lists. You were very defensive about the lists.
And I don't think I was defensive at all.
No. Actually, you're right. That was an inappropriate and incorrect adjective. I would say you were somewhat equivocal about the lists.
That is correct.
I was equivocal.
In other words, you were trying to convey to us that you were not confident that they were all worth going through.
Yes.
So that
it is a logical, reasonable option.
When we get to the point where I'm like, do the list anyway, goddammit.
Yeah.
You made it clear to the audience that any boredom that may result is not your fault. It is indeed, if anybody's, it's mine.
I think sometimes it's necessary for the greater good.
So would you like to pick one of those other lists?
Sure. Well, there's Beto's Meanie Mission. That's a 12-point list. That's kind of long, actually. I don't know.
You could go through it really quick.
Okay.
You want to experiment that way?
Okay, let's experiment. Let's zip through this. Beto's...
All right, Jesse, let him do his magic.
I'm gonna keep my mouth shut.
Beto, I mean, you guys can talk if you want.
Jesse, we can talk, but light.
Yeah, light talk.
Light talk.
So Beto's Meanie Mission. So at first, he starts out off with number one, this is basically like Beto's like being like Starfleet sucks and how it's obvious he's got this point of view from the very start. From the start, he goes, number one, what separates Federation from an empire? He's A, both colonized, B, both impose laws and doctrines on others. Okay, Beto's got a mission. Number two, are they explorers as they claim or soldiers as they appear? Beto's on a mission. Number three, they call their vessels starships. Mm-hmm. What distinguishes them from warships? That could have arguably gone in with point two.
Well.
No. But number four.
Arguably. I like that you separated them. Personally,
no.
Personally, I like that you distinguished. I think there was a nuanced enough distinction between those 2 points.
Why, thank you.
Yeah. What does God need with a starship?
Have confidence for me when I don't, for myself. Four, what does God need with a starship?
Yeah.
I think I have that
there
somewhere.
There is no God.
I think I got distracted. God.
I mean, that's one of the... Star Trek V has brilliance. Star Trek V is an example of like, yeah, there's a lot of flaws. There's some goofy shit in there, but there are so many important pieces come out of that.
Listen to our podcast.
Well, that's a great... Yeah, it's a two-part podcast on Star Trek V.
Two parts.
Did we do
Final Frontier.
Wait, did we do sounds back then?
Yes, yeah. That was a more recent
one. More recent, baby. Yeah.
What does God need with a starship? What does God need with a starship?
It's brilliant.
There we go. Okay, sorry, I'm getting back to my thing.
We're doing fast list.
I'm not doing such a good job at that.
You're doing pretty good. You're doing a pretty good job. We're already on item four.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
He's quizzing the crew as to why they need weapons. Ortegas pretty much sums it up. It's stupid to go out into the unknown without some form of protection.
Yeah.
I'm glad they shut that one down from the start.
It seems like an ignorant question.
Yeah.
I'm like a peaceful guy, but yeah, I mean, in the context, again, feeds into this idea that this is a student film.
The universe is a dangerous place.
You don't like wander into the fucking mountains without a mountain lion sword.
Baby.
Yeah. Or something, you know. Five, when Lahan is talking...
Did you see a mountain lion sword? That almost got by me. I was just sitting here thinking, I was like, wait. But literally the thought process was like, yeah, good point. Good point, Dan. Wait, did you say a mountain lion sword?
A legitimate double take.
Well, because it's both absurd and immediately something I want to exist. I want there to be like a... I don't want somebody to invent it. I want there to have been 300 or 400 years, maybe more, of lore, of art. Artisan,
right.
The development decided, of the concept of a mountain
where
lion.
Where they
sword.
Decided that it and they that it was the most appropriate weapon to fight a mountain lion, and the design how it was conducive to fighting specifically mountain.
And that
lion.
There's like it's split into different schools of design, and there's a more modern version made with sort of composite materials, and then people say like, yeah, that's not authentic. You got to go with the style that's made of this old style metallurgy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's what I believe in too.
Yeah.
I remember like it was last week or the couple weeks ago, Jesse was talking about how he spent like 4 or 5 years in high school without watching television, he said.
Yeah, that's another thing that we sort of let slip by.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Jesse's looking like he don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
There was a period of about 4 or 5 years that he didn't do podcasts.
But we watched like Daria or something every once in a while.
La, yeah, la, right.
La, la,
yeah. We were tripping.
All right, next list item.
Number five.
Number five is alive. I'm sorry.
Johnny Five is alive.
Johnny Five is alive.
That's right.
Is it Johnny Five or number five?
I think it's Johnny Five.
Number five. Johnny
or maybe,
Five.
Maybe it is
I
number
think it's
five.
Number five is alive.
Johnny Five. Well, I thought it was Johnny Five.
Yeah. We're talking about the movie Short Circuit, which has a white fella in brown face playing an Indian fella.
That's true.
Yeah. One of those things that happened in the 80s.
One of those things. Number five. When La'an is talking about taking defensive stance, They bring up the Beto brings up the Gorn, knowing that she had a particular trauma associated with them. It seems like, and it seems a little unfair, like he's trapping her. Her response wasn't great because he was basically like, "Well, what do you do?" Like, you know, she was basically like, you know, you don't use violence unless you have to. I think is what she was saying. Yeah. But then he brings up the Gorn, knowing that she has a history, and her response, which wasn't great, was basically like, "Unless you get the jump on him, run away. But if you can get the jump on him, kill the shit out of him." So fire,
preemptive strike.
So fire first,
George W. Bush style.
So fire. Yeah. So fire first, ask questions later. Which contradicts
mission accomplished.
Which contradicts.
A park in Botswana.
Okay, when I said you could talk, I meant like in response to things.
Unfortunately, that is the appropriate call and response when you get onto the George W. Bush riff. Right. It does have to end with a park in Botswana.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just sort of it's a ritualistic
thing. Okay, so her response about the Gorn about firing first and then like running away if you can't fire first, it kind of like contradicted everything she just said. So, but it made Starfleet out to look like it was meant, Umberto was trying to make them Starfleet look like this sort of violent soldier breeding. Mm-hmm. System when really he just brought up a particular point of trauma for her and exploited that to try to make some other point, which is pretty unethical.
And not even just trauma. Again, you can be an absolutist or you can have a more practical view on life. Lahan tends to have a more practical view, and you could easily interpret what she's saying as simply like, yeah, there are different enemies and you deal with them differently, right? Discovery has a whole thing called the Vulcan hello. It's like the entire, there's a big point in like where the Vulcans are like with certain cultures, you just got to be like right up in there. Like with the Klingons, you know, that's the kind of thing. So it's a tactic and they're transmuting it into some sort of moral point that again is not really well presented.
Yeah. Well, it gave it a little extra English, the fact that she did have something associated because he knew what her response was going to be.
Yeah,
but like,
right.
But
100%.
But yeah.
All right. What's the number are we on?
Six. Beto is all grilling Uhura as to why they're transporting it through a war zone, and he does so all accusingly. It apparently never occurred to Uhura why, because she was just like, "That's outside of my orders."
Yeah.
But she looked all surprised by the question.
I'll say another thing. I did not appreciate that this kind of made some of our officers, and I understand Uhura is a more junior officer. This is earlier in her career, but
it never occurred to
her make the point. They kind of make her look a little,
naive.
Yeah, naive is a good word, and naive in a way that I don't buy with her at her level of career and the experiences that she's had already.
Number seven, Beto is quizzing Mbenga on seeing death, being like, "If you've seen someone die," he did that with a lot of people. Then he reveals his Beto reveals Mbenga's background as a super commando when Mbenga was being all dodgy. But which, like with La'an, it's not really fair. He's trying to draw a connection, implying that like he was, I don't know, hired as a doctor because of his history as a super warfighter.
I don't know what the point,
like,
what was the point?
It was just really incidental that he was involved with the Klingon war.
Like, you're a doctor and then occasionally, they send you off to like murder people?
Right, right.
I mean, that sounds kind of cool. That'd be a cool story to tell.
And then, you know, Starfleet, I guess, has ordered him to kill, not in his current position. Yeah. Like, the one doesn't have anything to do with the other, but he's, like, trying to draw a connection.
During the Klingon War, he did a lot of killing.
He was the ghost.
Here I go killing again.
Oh, geez. Number eight, he follows his interview with Mbenga up with with Mbenga's warfighting stats. You know, so he just follows to drive the point home. And then he goes, "Have you ever scrubbed the surveillance logs from sickbay?" And I brought that up earlier.
By the way,
when he makes it very obvious that he has by saying, "I can't recall," twice.
Yeah, but by the way, you know, did you say "by the way" and then I said "by the way"?
I think you said it first.
All right. I'll say "by the by."
I'll say, I was going to say that. God damn it.
Got to do it quicker.
Okay. Do it.
Oh, let's do it. Okay, let's do it. Hey, that's cool. Hey, play those.
Okay, let's do it.
Play the other one.
Oh, Jesus. Wait.
Okay. Do it.
Okay, let's do it.
There we go. Yeah. All right. Connection.
Holograms?
That's the kind of, it's not an Easter egg, but it's like funny. Sometimes it's funny, like somebody on Reddit will see that and they're like, "Do you think this was an Easter egg for Deep Space Nine?" And then everyone, all the comments are like, that's not what an Easter egg is.
I don't get it. Don't get it. I don't get it.
The whole redacted business also was hilarious to me because, yes, you're right. They're like, look, they're going to show his stats and make him look like a crazy maniac. But like, it was like, kills redacted. Yeah, that looks sinister. What if you unredacted it for your request and it's like, yeah, he killed like three people.
Yeah, right.
Zero, two, one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's redacted.
We don't know. It's redacted. It looks redacted. All sinister. Oh, it's right. Redacted.
It's not redacted because the number was so high.
It's redacted because it's a private yeah, right. Like, why would they be giving you like this kind of information?
But that was Beto's mission, I guess, is to fuck
propaganda.
Him over. He had his own propaganda at work. Okay. Nine, he taught.
This was
supposed to be a Starfleet pro-pop propaganda piece, and he was making it the other way.
I told you. They're doing the Fox Letterman gambit.
Right.
You give them a little rope, and you make them like what Paramount's doing with South Park. They're like, see, we are a good company
it's in your house and Jim's house and Marvin's house.
Look at your old savings and loan. In this movie, I kill myself.
Each and every one.
Yes, go for
it. Okay, number nine. He talked to Uhura, and he knew she would talk about Elena, so he made sure he had her death info at the ready.
Another weird fucked up scene.
Like, why? Well, it's like people die, you know, I guess. Yeah. It's a warship, because exploration's dangerous.
And also the Cayuga, that was last season, that was Captain Patel's ship, right? And then during the whole, you know, they were trying to, like, settle this weird little 1950s town or whatever, and the ship got attacked by the Gorn, because the Gorn decided it was in their territory. So, terrible experience. But we're weirdly played in this episode.
Incidentally, the actor who plays Patel was in the show I watched recently called
Scorfino. Her name is
something. Is it Melanie Scorfino? I think it's Melanie Scorfano.
I'm interested in what show this is because I quite enjoy her as an actor. I think she's very good.
It's Melanie Scorfino. It's a show called Revival. Ooh. It's about like
is that like in a hospital?
No, it's like a show where like
is in a church.
It's okay if you don't mind me giving away the first episode. What happens in the very beginning of the first episode is like a bunch of people like who died on a certain day suddenly they're walking around again. Okay. They're like, what the fuck? So
it's kind of like the 4400 or the Leftovers or something. I don't know, not like that, but you know.
Well, I thought it was pretty entertaining. It's a bonkers show, but
I will check it out.
Yeah, I thought it was entertaining. Great. It's fucking weird.
I respect your suggestion.
Thanks.
They often excite me, like that. I think you suggested Bodkin to me, and I really enjoyed it. And don't worry, Dan, I'm not going to mention anything about the Bodkin recorder.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, long time listeners will know what I'm talking about, but I'm not going to mention that.
So I'm super right, Mike, as opposed to often wrong, soon.
Yeah, it would be better if you could work your name into it.
Yeah,
some Dan's.
The only thing that rhymes with Dan is man.
No, there's other things.
Pan, ran.
Yeah. LAN. That's pretty good. Cool. Local area network.
Yeah.
For people of a certain age.
They don't make those anymore.
I mean, sure they do.
No, I mean, they don't. The fucking video games they sell.
Oh, I
like,
see what
they
you mean.
They could add like local area network support. It'd be amazing if they did that with racing games. But now instead of adding local area network support for racing games, they have them require a server. Yeah. And then eventually they shut the server down and force you to buy the new one.
Because nobody owns anything anymore.
Yeah. And so like, I'm sure they do it on purpose. But like, yeah, used to be able to like, it was like no brainer. You'd be like a game that can play like 10 people. You give it LAN ability, but they don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Heretic or Hexen.
Hexen. Remember Descent?
Descent was great.
That was crazy.
I was watching a video yesterday. It was like 90s DOS games or PC games, and Descent came up. I was like, man, that's good.
Turned my brain upside down because like it was like Doom except in space future, and you could go in every direction. Like
it was fantastic.
It was crazy. Yeah, that was cool. Number 10, in his narration, he's editorializing through inflection that them transporting the Jakaro is not what an exploratory vessel should be doing.
What he says is
the Enterprise is following Starfleet's orders and transporting what they know is a weapon, the Jakaro. So
I mean, 100%.
100%.
100%.
You were going to say something?
No, I think you covered it.
Okay. Number 11, he asked La'an, and later we find out retroactively he asked Pike and some other couple people. Probably implies he asks everyone what it feels like to kill somebody. We talked about this. It seems like one of those questions like you wouldn't ask someone.
It's a cheesy question.
Yeah.
to elicit an emotional response.
It's like you wouldn't ask them that unless you knew that they killed, that they probably killed someone, yeah, because you're not interested in the answer. You just want to fuck with, yeah, them, you know? Like when Lon, like when he asked Lon and she just like was like, she just like shook her head. I couldn't tell. I thought that was a good reaction because I couldn't tell if she was like shaking her head because she was like, that's a fucked up question, yeah, or if it just threw her through a loop and she was like thinking about the time she killed herself and like it
killed
it,
herself.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. When she shook her head after he asked that, I didn't know if she was shaking her head because she was pissed off at him about the question, or if she was more, it made her remember all the times that she was killing people.
I think it would have been hilarious if Lana was just like, what are you talking about? I never killed anybody.
But I thought that was a pretty good, that was a good response she gave. Yeah. Number 12 in the final. He asked Uhura, quote unquote, privately, until she found out, how Starfleet can bring a weapon of war to a distant planet, which is actually a fair question. Mm-hmm. Then he's like, nobody wants to do this, so why are they doing it? Then he goes, it feels like the actions of a colonizer who takes. And that's when Uhura gets pissed. That's kind of like, he's not beating around the bush anymore. It's like, this is.
And part of what annoyed me about this is that, purposefully or otherwise, again, I'm not clear, his use of the term colonizer, it seems like the show is making fun of the concept of that as an insult because it's being misused here, right? They're talking about like, okay, they're doing some military stuff, maybe shady, maybe not, whatever. But like, that's not really talking about the colonizer, like this that's used in today's sort of political discourse, mm-hmm, and is using a trendy term now, and it's sort of misusing it. And I think undervaluing the argument made by people who know the arguments better, mm-hmm, who put together better arguments, can use that term in a way that makes sense and at least from certain perspectives could be valid. This seemed to be like purposefully undermining that idea, mm-hmm, that's a problem. I don't know if that's what they meant, but when you combine it with some of the other things at the end, it really kind of seems like they're saying like anybody who claims about empires and colonizers is just like a whiny young guy,
right,
an incel or some shit who's bitter about something he can't control in his life, mm-hmm, and like you should just follow orders and trust that whatever we say is right. Now look, I know that's not really what they're saying. It kind of just comes off that way, I think.
Near the end, they showed a picture of what we assume was Ortega's Beto and their mom. Do you think that was one of those situations where they actually got like baby pictures from him? Like those were actually those. I always wonder when
that it was cute.
I was always wondering when in movies and shows when they show like the character and he's like, this is me, yeah, as a baby, or this is me at five, yeah, years old. Look at me, I'm so cute and happy as a kid. Now I'm so miserable. But like, I always wonder like, is that really them? Because, yeah, they probably do that a lot where they're like, bring in a baby picture and we'll make, yeah, it.
I like the picture, and it's a little anachronistic given that, you know, it wasn't like on a screen or something, which, yeah, is very, right, common for us today. We have these, yeah, little screens and stuff.
They're called phones.
I wasn't like super phones excited by the whole fixing or whatever motorcycle or whatever it was. I like the idea, but why does it have to be like a 1990s motorcycle? You know,
well, we always know it's always Star Trek's always got to be like,
no, but they don't always. Sometimes they have them working on some future Star Trek, yeah, but it's the same idea.
But I mean, it's the same thing. Like when they go back in time, it's always in the 20th. Well, it was always in the 20th century.
I mean, sometimes it's the 1800s or whatever. I just don't.
I just want to see them go back to dinosaur times once. Why can't they do that?
That's right. Like, why not?
Why not?
There are a number of other times.
Holograms.
But I get bored of it, right? It's just bored to see like, oh, this is...
Well, I mean,
this...
that's what happened with Palia, like in the, was it the last episode where she was showing all her neat, like,
yeah,
80s phone gear and stuff?
Yeah, I was bored of a fun bunch of that, but except like, some of it I liked because the telephone stuff became useful. It was a little weird that she had so many telephones.
She had so many specifically, yeah, 80s things.
I liked the video game stuff. She's talked about like her, she was on Earth in the 80s. She does other stuff, right? Palia is not just like on Earth the whole time. She was on Earth a lot and then she goes to other places, but, so, and also, again, it was more fun. This is just the motorcycle, yeah, thing. It's just wasn't that interesting?
Right.
Like maybe do something else. You put together some like Da Vinci stuff or whatever. Yeah, it can be like older. Like why isn't she like?
Oh, you mean like his inventions? His, yeah, weird flappy machines.
Or like have her do some like blacksmithing or something.
Blacksmithing.
Just like. The whole like I'm getting all greasy and oily and I'm working through my mental issues, yeah, by working on a carburetor, is cool. It's trite, again, along with lots of other things in this episode.
Yes.
My perspective.
Quite.
Yes.
Quite. Yeah. So what's the deal with the backstory on some of these characters? I guess Uhura's family died. Do we know what do we know about Uhura's family?
Yeah, that was explained early on in season one. I think it was a shuttle accident.
And then so apparently...
And I think they were all like coming to visit her. It was something horrible. Man. It was something like one of those terrible, tragic things that informed her backstory.
And Starfleet helped her because her family died, gave her a family or something.
I think she was on a potentially bad path, found Starfleet. Mm-hmm. Found a good path to become useful in life.
And then so Ortegas's mom died, apparently. Mm-hmm. We don't know much about that.
Similar backstory.
Similar backstory. Starfleet allowed them to manage somehow. But then, on the other hand, without Starfleet, La'an was like, I'd be dead. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And Spock loves Starfleet because it just lets him be himself. Because, like, he was saying, like, in Vulcan, mm-hmm. having a human side is like
problematic,
is detrimental. And actually, on the one hand, you could say that's like dickish of the Vulcans to be like that, but on the other hand, it kind of makes sense because, like, the problem with Vulcans is they can't handle emotions, because if they do allow themselves to have emotions, crazy terrible shit happens. And like, that's one of the human strengths, is like their ability to manage their emotions and use it effectively, right? So I can say, like, I guess you could ask the question, is a human side of being part human? I mean, I guess this is one of those questions in Star Trek.
We'll talk more about this maybe next week, too.
Right. Yeah,
it's probably more directly relevant.
More better question for next week. But, like, on the one hand, it makes sense, like, to have something that embraces emotion is going to be tricky for something that, like, has problems with emotion. But on the other hand, maybe it helps them manage more. But, yeah, that's probably more of a question.
Well, and again, I think the idea is that Vulcan is often portrayed, at least through the story of Spock, as being not accepting, not open. And that's generally portrayed as... a problem, whereas the humans are in our Starfleet world are portrayed as much more accepting, and that's great. That's a great message. We're not there yet, mm-hmm. and I don't know. Sometimes Star Trek can be a little bit essentialist, and again, more of that comes up next week. But that applies a little bit here. In this, again, the documentary interview style.
Oh, that's what La'an said. She was saying the goal is to having weapons is to not have to use them. Yeah. That's what she said. Which is like the same philosophy that I think they had at Junri Taekwondo. Yeah.
When nobody bothers me.
Yeah, you're supposed to have the weapon. So
you know,
my
mother-in-law knew Junri.
Really?
Yeah.
At Junri, they use might for right.
Yes.
How did your mom know Junri?
No, not my mom, my mother-in-law.
Oh, your mother-in-law. Okay. Just
Korean associations.
Well, when I went to Junri, it was in Annandale, near where the Juvenile Toys used to be, which is now something entirely different.
Juvenile Toys? Was that a store?
Yeah, it was a toy store.
It's called Juvenile Toys?
Yeah, that's where I got my Game Boy and Super Mario Brothers 3.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a little bit of a sort of
Virginia lore.
Personal anecdotes to... endear us to the audience.
Okay, Spock cutting himself in the caves. He's talking about how he's trying to cut the human side out of him, which is kind of like, I mean, kids think
it's a fucked up and intense story.
Yeah, how do you figure out which part of you is human when you're physically cutting yourself?
I think that's sort of part and parcel
of
the horror.
He just wanted to hurt himself. But like, I was reading something on Reddit, and like, someone on Reddit was, I can't remember who was saying, Sarek was saying something about like Spock's always disappearing
into
the caves or whatever. And so they were saying that this might've been a reference to that, as he was disappearing off into caves to go cut himself.
Cause we see some stuff happen in Yesteryear on TAS. And then I think, I can't remember if it was maybe on TNG, Sarek was maybe mentioning, I don't know, at some point.
Oh, and a small issue I had was when Lon was doing that shooting gallery where she was shooting those robots, looked super cool. But where do they get all these robots? And it sounds expensive to like have to train like that, because it's like you're blowing up all these expensive robots just for 5 minutes of training.
You can't have a holodeck because it takes up too much power and makes the ship go crazy.
Yeah, and people can do
holograms.
And the ship can go ape shit. Right. So I don't know. It just seems like they could. It seems like they didn't have to use whole robots for that. They could have used like floating targets or something. Maybe the phasers don't blow them up. They just disable them, you know. But
maybe.
I mean, look cool, but like,
it did look cool.
But yeah, how far does looking cool go when
not,
something
not
doesn't make sense?
Not very far, because I did not even remember that.
How interested you were.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm not apologizing for
the military marching beat. They were doing a lot of that.
Yeah, well, some of the music was pretty cool.
I liked how Pike didn't want to deal with any of this documentary bullshit episode.
Absolutely. And that was funny. And also the music at the end was it was almost like Vangelis style, like Blade Runner or something, when the moth was going into the sun and there were some like twinklies and dinklies.
Yeah, there were some twinklies.
There was some cool things there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the whale stuff and the whole psychic. We didn't even talk about the psychic stuff.
Did you like this?
It was just, I don't know.
I don't know why she's saying.
Yeah, like it's like, okay, Spock is senses Spock-o. Some psychic stuff, but he can't remember, you know, he can't deal with it. And it's like, okay, I guess he can't deal with it. And then Uhura can interact because, okay.
Oh, I didn't. Fine. Yeah, I didn't understand her logic. She was like, let me do it. Let me link with it. And Pike was like, too dangerous. I won't risk another crew member. And she goes, don't worry about it, dude. I'm volunteering. And it's like, yeah. I thought that's what she originally, like, yeah. How is that different than her saying, let me do it?
Not sure.
Like, and he was like, and then it's just like, oh, if you're volunteering, yeah. like her argument didn't change. It started with, let me link. Yeah. And then she was like, I'll try a different tact. I'll volunteer to do it. Yeah, it's like, is that different? Yeah. I don't know. She did a little like at ease thing at the same time she did. But like, yeah, I didn't understand the logic of like why Pike decided that was okay.
Final point. Cause we do have to end the show, but the final point I'll make that did perhaps unfairly, but this maybe aggravated the most of anything in the entire episode, was why do you have a medical bed that just says flatlined? Like, flatlined is a description of the fucking line. The line's supposed to go beep, boop, beep, boop. And then the screen says flatlined.
Yeah, no.
Like, it's beeping.
No, you call it flatlined because the line doesn't go up and down anymore.
It's not going up and down, but it didn't have a line. It did not have a line that was stopped going up and down. The screen just said flatlined. Not even like flatlined. It said flatlined, past tense.
Yeah. I didn't notice that.
I was not cool with
that. I can't remember if it was that episode or the one after it, which is they were playing the Atari noises that they have in the TOS med bay. Like, mm-hmm. when you, that they have this beat of like, a
I think it might have been in this episode. There was some good stuff. The sound design is great on this show. But the production design, for the most part, I did not like how they, these overlays and how they edit it. But,
that was interesting though. I guess the Spock was meditating, Spock-o! Meditation of Serac to increase his Esper sensitivity. So anyone can mind meld. They just have to have the right equipment because she was able to mind meld.
Well, yeah, it was not really a mind meld. Supposedly this thing was itself somehow psionic or whatever.
One thing that I don't know why I kept noticing, this is like the last thing I got. One thing I don't understand, what I don't know why I kept noticing is both episodes when they were like in the meeting room, like.
What do you mean both episodes?
Both times I watched the episode. My fault. I can't remember. Spock gives La'an a cup of hot tea or something. She gives him. They're walking by and he hands her a cup. Yeah. And I don't know why I keep paying attention to that. I'm
it's
like
because of their relationship.
Yeah, it must be because the way they did it made it seem significant. But like that must have been it. It was like it wasn't just a crew member handing tea. It was like I don't know. I was just it was almost a throwaway. But like I just kept like it just kept popping. I just noticed that
and
every
that,
times. Like,
that stuff I do like. And I'm not a fan of this episode, but they have been doing a good job of some of these character things where they just sprinkle a little and it works nicely when. You just sprinkle a little bit in there. A little bit sprinkly.
Do we want to push the duty or no duty to next week?
No, we can do it real quick. Is there a new duty or no duty? I mean, we'll see what Jesse has to say.
Okay.
How about this? You play the duty or no duty.
Okay.
And let's see what we hear.
Okay.
Starfleet presents themselves as our quadrant shining example of duty. Oh. Duty. 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 Okay. Duty.
So I think, Jesse, I don't know what you think. I think that's a duty. Yeah. Jesse, what do you think?
I think it's a duty, too.
All right. What do you think, Dan? What do you think, Dan?
You know, now that I listen to it, I can understand how in those past ones where I was flabbergasted that you guys were saying no duty.
Yeah.
I can listen to this and I can kind of see where one would say no duty, but it's a duty all the way.
Duty all the way.
Duty all the way.
I think so. Yeah,
do you want a second shot at this, Jesse?
Like Starfleet presents themselves as our quadrant shining example of duty. Duty, duty, duty.
No duty.
Always the contrarian.
Excellent. All right. Well,
egg salad.
Not the best episode, but.
Yeah, it wasn't the best. Not the best.
Not the best podcast.
I mean, Patrick had stronger, not the best vibes about it, but.
Stronger feelings about it. But anyway, it is what it is. Next week, we're going to talk about.
I didn't think it was terrible. It just wasn't standout. I think it had the potential to be a lot better had they focused on certain things. And I know that part of the point was they were going for a thing with the documentary. So I don't want to throw away their. I don't want to yuck their yum with that. But at the same time, the way it was implemented, I kind of would have preferred it.
I think this was. A boring episode.
There was. Fuck their young,
I think it was.
Dude.
I think it was not.
Not fuck their. Young.
I think it was not original. I think it was not original. I think it was poorly executed. Yeah. And I'm sad to say that, but I think those are the some of the key points. But next week...
Unfortunately, we're out of time.
Next week should be another interesting discussion. We're going to talk about 4.5 Vulcans.
Hooray!
And there's some controversy around this.
Of course there is.
Not 3.5 Vulcans.
And I think there'll be an interesting discussion.
Close your eyes.
Anyway, we'll talk about that next week. And,
keep it vague.
In the meantime, you can find us on social media at It's Got Star Trek. We're on YouTube.
Hey, look at me.
All over town.
Try to subscribe to us on YouTube. It's we're not.
Stop asking.
There's no videos. There's like it's like videos. That's like the podcast with a static image, but that's still pretty cool.
What is the creature doing?
And it makes us feel nice when
people
we
like it the best
when we have more subscribers. Yeah, a lot of people.
I care about my patients.
Listen via that. And our website, of course, is www.itsgotstartrek.com.
Shikaru.
And our Patreon is patreon.com/itsgotstartrek.
Shikaru.
We're making it easy for you.
Chakotay.
On all these metrics. So,
what does it feel like to kill somebody?
Well, we might find out between now and next week. So, we wish you
wait
all
a minute.
The best.
What the fuck?
I'm gonna find
that
out.
That was
cryptic.
Yeah, right. It was.
We'll find out. Come back next week.
Next week, Dan won't be here.
What was Patrick talking about?
Oh man.
Will we all come back?
Oh,
who
man,
knows?
Are you serious?
All right. With that, we'll say. Goodbye.
Enterprise out.
I think what makes me good at my job is that I have a lot of experience. From a younger age, I've had to look after myself, and I've learned to make logical decisions very quickly in tense, high-risk situations.
What does it feel like to kill somebody?